station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we're coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. You should be on that now if you're listening to the show, but just in case you're listening from your iPhone, it's latalkradio.com, and you click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. You scroll down, you look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. That'll take you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of past guests, and also you can click play and hear it instantly or download it to your computer. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. And if you have an iPhone, you can download us directly. And we're also going to be available for the Droid system soon. I will keep you updated about that. Now, if you want to find out about future guests, then you can visit the official Question Reality website, and that website address is questionreality.com. Oh my lord, .us, not .com, questionreality.us. They snatched the .com away from me, and a lot of people get confused. I get these emails because everyone does questionreality.com, and when they do, they are led to this tacky little website, no offense, but it's for an interior designer. I don't even know what that's about. But questionreality.us. Now, we have a fantastic, wonderful, incredible guest for you today, and his name is Matt Alber, and he is a Grammy-winning singer-songwriter, and we are going to talk to him in a while. If you want to check out his website while I'm doing my advertisements or my events around town, you can. Let me give you his website address. Now, you know I say, everyone, grab a pen and paper whenever you listen to the show, and if you're referring the show to someone, always make sure you tell them to have a pen and paper, because we give out really great things about classes around town, events, plays, any things that are going to definitely be helpful, fun. They're involved in entertainment, so get a pen and paper. Now, his website address is mattalber.com, mattalber.com. And when you go there, don't be freaked out by his eyes, because that's like some cool graphic visual thing. I was like, whoa, those little eyes are scaring me. But don't worry about it. He's cute as a button. Check his website out, and we will continue on, and we'll meet him in a couple of minutes. Now, let me tell you about some great stuff happening. All right. There is an ebook for all of you guys who love ebooks. There is a fantastic one that just came out. It's called It Had to Be Us, and it's by Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence. And this is a very Elizabeth Lawrence is her pen name. Her actual name is Betty Jo Tucker. She is a film critic. We had her on the show. She is the funniest woman ever. She is hysterical. She sent me a book. She's interviewed every celebrity possible, and especially Susan Sarandon. She sent me a couple of her books, and I use them when I'm doing my yoga. I actually read, yes, while I'm doing yoga. I don't know, there's something wrong with me, but I just laugh my ass off. She's so funny. So she and her husband, their pen names, Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, they wrote this book called It Had to Be Us, and it is about how they were divorced and estranged for nearly two decades. And Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, they accidentally met again. True story. They accidentally met again, and they rediscovered their lost love. And in the book, they share their feelings about the poignant events that brought them back together. And this book is filled with humor, because she is so funny, emotion, suspense, and a really, really cool, funny as anything, surprising Las Vegas encounter. So it's really like heartfelt, romantic. It's a memoir. So it really proves that genuine love can survive any of life's problems, because you know, they get back together after all this time. It's an amusing kind of new honeymoon revelation. And there's a section devoted to some of her favorite romantic movies, because as I said, she is a critic, a movie critic. And it's also included in the 2010 expanded version of their award-winning ebook. So you get a lot of bonuses. I mean, this book is only $5.99. My God, you are going to get so much joy out of this book for $5.99. You get all these bonuses. Let me tell you what these bonuses are. You get a copy of Confessions of a Movie Addict in PDF. That is the one I was telling you, I was laughing so hard. It is so funny. This woman is, she should have been a comedian. I don't even know why she didn't go into comedy. Bonus two, it's an ebook version of The Real Deal, R-E-E-L Deal, which is writing her critiques about various movies throughout history. Bonus three is you listen to the remarkable Debbie Reynolds, who's a friend of hers, discuss her legendary entertainment career. Bonus four, you're going to listen to classic film actress Tippi Hedren. She's going to speak out about her animal activism and her work with Alfred Hitchcock. And bonus five, you're going to listen to Betty Jo Tucker, a.k.a. Elizabeth Lawrence, listen to her interview with funny man Fred Willard. Remember him from The Love Boat. Bonus six is you're going to listen to the one and only Cloris Leachman talk about her candid autobiography and her acting career. Who doesn't love Cloris Leachman? Oh, my God, that woman is still working it out. I think I just saw a trailer. She's in another movie. Oh, I think she's going to be in a sitcom, actually. This season, I saw her playing like a crazy psychotic grandmother or something. I can't remember the name of it. And then bonus seven is you're going to listen to actor Barry Boswick discuss his fascinating experiences while filming the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So, God, for $5.99, come on, people, what do you want? You're getting like a real bonus here. So if you want to order a copy of this award-winning ebook today, you can go through Amazon.com or and just type in It Had to Be Us by Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E, or you can go directly to her website, which is BettyJoTucker.com, BettyJoTucker.com. And Debbie Reynolds, her quote was, "I loved it." So, and you will too, I'm telling you. I don't recommend things. I think most of the people who know me, you know I never recommend things unless I totally approve. I don't do it just to do it. I really have to like it. So, and I really dug this. Also, now, if you want, if you are a person who needs film consulting, okay, so you're a person, you've never done a film, you want to do a music video, you're, how do I do a film? I want to do a film, I don't know anything about it, I don't want to spend any money going to film school, I don't want to go to classes, I just want to pick this damn camera up and make a movie. Well, I tell you how you're going to do it. New Film Consulting and Mentoring Site. multiple award-winning producer, Carrie David. She is incredible. Okay, she recently realized a long-time dream of mentoring filmmakers on a one-to-one basis, and she launched her new consulting website. It's called CarrieDavid.com, CarrieDavid.com. And no matter where you are in the process of your film or your career, even if you don't know how to do it, Carrie can offer you sage advice from her vast experience, and she's worked in budgets as low as $1,100 for a movie called My Date with Drew, and as high as $35 million plus budgets on Agent Cody Banks, that franchise. And whether you're considering filmmaking as an option, you want to do it as a hobby, or if you're well into the filmmaking process already, having an expert available at your fingertips, oh my God, I can't even tell you. Whatever the obstacles, whatever the challenges you encounter, like if you want to know about fundraising, how to get money for your film, you want to know about casting, you want to do production to marketing and distribution, you got to consult with an expert, and this can really lighten the weight of that production. So Carrie, this woman, I just think it's the coolest thing ever. On her website, when you go there, you can actually go to her price list. So if you want to just ask a question, she has a price for that. If you want to do this, she has a price for that. Everything. So go there, check it out. It's CarrieDavid.com, CarrieDavid.com, and she will hook you up. She's incredible. You can see all of the movies she's worked on. Everything is on this website, so definitely go now if you want to make a film. Lastly, we have, until August 29th, we have the West Valley Playhouse, and they are doing Guys and Dolls. Yay! One of my favorite plays. America's favorite musical, right? So in case you aren't familiar with the story, Guys and Dolls is a 1950 musical, and it's drawn from two short stories by Damon Runyon. So you meet these lovable thugs and their long-suffering dolls, and some of the best music, as you know, came out of this production, like Luck Be a Lady, Guys and Dolls, Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat. And this play is directed by John Barry, and the musical director is Patricia Hanifan. And you don't want to miss it. We are going to see it in the next couple weeks ourselves. And it opened Friday, July 30th, and it runs to August 29th. Friday and Saturdays at 8 o'clock, Sunday at 2:30, and it's at the West Valley Playhouse, and that is located 7242 Owens Mouth Avenue in Canoga Park. And you can call for your tickets. The number is 818-884-1907, or visit their website, wvplayhouse.com. Oh my goodness, that's going to be fantastic. Oh, I got one more. Oh, I have one more. I have to do Wayne Schoenfeld. Wayne Schoenfeld, one of the greatest photographers, digital photographer and documentarian. I was in a lot of his work. Most of you know I am a plus size model, and I worked on a couple of his projects. He is a Los Angeles County Museum of Art member, also of the Photographic Arts Council, and he is going to display some of his work at the Creative Photographic Workshop and Gallery. And during this collaborative event, two of Wayne Schoenfeld's artworks will be on display. One is from the Icons Iconoclast series, which is the one I'm in, yay, and a second from a humanitarian photo report, which he shot in Ethiopia. And this exhibition is also featured during the opening of the Miracle Mile Art Walk. So you don't want to miss this opening in front of LACMA, which is the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. It's between 6 and 9 p.m. And you can check out Wayne Schoenfeld's website, WayneSchoenfeld.com, and you can look at his work. It's very haunting. It's very pure. It's when you look at it, you can just really feel the pain on the faces of these people. And he's an incredible man. Not only that, he's a good-looking man. Ooh, man. So any of you older seniors who want to look at a good-looking man, go to his website. I'm telling you now. You can also check out the creativephotoworkshops.com website, and it'll give you a list of all of the stuff. So, yay! We are done! We are done with all of our events. We are now going to find out about our guest today, and I'm going to read a little bit about him. We're going to talk to him a little bit, and then we're going to be playing his song, one of his songs from his album. And I'm going to have him enter the song for you, but we will be playing that probably in about 15 minutes. So you want to hang on, get a cocktail, which is exactly what Mr. Matt Albert is doing right now. He is actually coming to us via satellite, or wherever the hell Skype gets them. I don't know where Skype goes to get the people, but you can tell I'm very technological. Skype, go find him, Skype. Where is he? He's actually in on fire Island right now, cocktailing it up. So I hope he's not too drunk by the time I finish with his bio to give us an interview. But Matt Albert, he's a singer-songwriter, Los Angeles-based singer-songwriter, and he grew up singing in choirs. And choir is where he learned to feel okay. At practice, Matt learned how to make something beautiful with his friends on stages around the world. Like an athlete, he watched himself get better at something that his mind and his body were making together. And Matt went on to study music and writing. He ended up writing with some wise and fearless teachers whom he now has as longtime friends. He moved to California to join the Classical Men's Ensemble, and God knows I'm probably going to butcher the name of this, but I apologize in advance. Chanticleer or Chanticleer, I'm not sure which, but we will have him pronounce that correctly. And with this men's ensemble, he recorded two Grammy award-winning albums. Very exciting. Whenever we hear Grammys and Emmys and Oscars, I get titillated myself. And Hide Nothing is Matt's first album of original songs. And the record was co-produced with his trusted visionary, Jeff Creary, or Creary, I think Creary, at Utmosis in San Francisco. That is, I believe, a recording studio. And that website address is utmosis.net, utmosis.net. When he's not touring or recording, Matt also directs a choir of his very own in Los Angeles, and it's called Forever Young. I love that name. I love that movie. The audition is fairly simple. I thought this was great. If you're 60 years old or up, you sing with heart, and you can bring something to the potluck, you're in. Damn, I'm off by a couple years, but I've got heart. I sing with heart. I can't sing in tune, but my heart's in it while I'm singing. And I could definitely bring something to the potluck, so I'm going to have to keep this on my senior to-do list. Most of them are also gay or lesbian and lead incredible lives, which has led him to currently be in development for a reality-based television show about his experiences. So we're going to talk to this incredible man, Mr. Matt Albert. I was referred to him by a gentleman named Peter Hernandez, who emailed me. He's a listener of the show, and he emailed me and said, you gotta have this guy on your show. He's an incredible singer. He sang for our wedding, and he sent me the YouTube video, and when I heard Matt, I said, oh, his voice is just so haunting, and it's just so, I don't know, there's something about it that just makes you wanna, I don't know, it makes you feel kind of like you're in a trance. You just want to keep listening to it, and you'll see that when we listen to his song in a couple minutes. So without further ado, we are going to call on you. Are you there, Mr. Matt Albert? Hello? Yoo-hoo! I think I put him to sleep. Is anybody there? Ronan! I think we need to get him back on the air.
Thank you. I can hear you.
Oh, you can. Oh, my gosh. I finished my intro, and I just don't know what happened. Where did you hear me, and where did I leave off?
I'm so sorry I lost you there. The reception is a little crazy out on Fire Island, but I think I moved to a good place.
No problem. I didn't know what happened. I gave you did you get to hear my intro of you at all, or were you cut off for a long time?
I was out for about a minute. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. No problem. Oh, okay. We are here with you. We got you back. Ronan is always to the rescue. And yay, Ronan. Yeah, he got you real quick. Those fingers must be expert phone dialers, because he can get you real quick. Now, I want to welcome you to the show and thank you so much. I know that being on Fire Island, it's so exciting and you got so many things to do. So to take time to do this interview, I wanted to thank you for that.
It's my pleasure.
Now, do you have your cocktail? You got your feet up? You all ready to do the interview?
Oh, yeah. Well, on Fire Island, you always have a cocktail in hand.
So I've heard about you Fire Island little visitors. My God, I got to get over there.
You have got to get out to Fire Island. It is amazing out here.
I know. I have got to get there. And I know I'm supposed to stay at, Cherry Grove, right?
That's where you want to be.
That's where I want to be. Matt called earlier, and we had a brief conversation, and I said, obviously, all the hot gay guys are at Fire Island. Of course, every good-looking man, in my opinion, on the earth is gay. I don't know what happened, but it's like, where are my heterosexuals? None of them are good-looking. All the gay men took up all the good looks in the world. And I said, well, where do the old heterosexual white women go? So he said, you're over at Cherry Grove. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, Cherry Grove is where all the lesbians are.
Don't send me over there! I need something pointy! I don't want to go dive in it! I don't want to dive any muffs!
It'll be you and Wanda Sykes.
I'm not a muff diver! I need something pointy and pinnacle looking! Come on now, Matt! What are you doing? My God! Oh, no! Oh, Lord have mercy! We're going to get thrown right off the air. All right, but no, we're not. That's one thing great about LA Talk Radio. You can talk about anything. I could even use curse words if I wanted, but I'm not going to use them. But you can talk about sex as much as possible. And I love talking about sexual things and sexual innuendos. And I don't know what's wrong with me. There must be something going on. But it's all about being free and talking about the sex talk with me. But we know that. So, let's talk about you now. From reading your bio, we know that you are attached to the choir. So I like to take it back, and I like to start with this question. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you were a child? Like your very first memory, what did you want to do? Some people say, I want to grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, a fireman. What was going through your mind, your very first thoughts?
The first thing I wanted to be was Superman.
Ooh.
I wanted to be Superman. I was fascinated with that movie, and that was the first thing I wanted to be when I was a kid. And now that I am a professional musician, I kind of feel like I am Superman. I feel like I'm flying these days. Something's happened this last year where my whole career has turned around, and after all these years of trying to make it in the music industry, I'm finally living my dream. So I'm so happy to talk to you about it today.
Wow. Well, I tell you, if you feel like Superman and you're not on a cocktail, that's a good thing. I hope it's not the cocktail talking.
That's not the cocktail.
Now, how did you get involved in choirs? Was it because of church? Your family went to church and that's how you got involved?
Well, actually, that had something to do with it, but it was really my first music teacher. And I was in sixth grade, and my music teacher, Mrs. Myers, I still remember her, she said, Matt, I think that you have a really unique voice, and I think you should try out for this choir called the St. Louis Children's Choirs. and I went and tried out for them. And I sang with those choirs for 9 years.
Wow.
From high school.
Okay. So during this time, did you ever have any vocal lessons, or are you what's called a natural singer?
You know, I didn't take any voice lessons in my first 9 years of singing. But going to choir class with a great director taught me the basics of singing and how to sing in a group, which is a whole different skill.
That's my next question. Do you feel that if people have a natural talent for singing, but say they can't afford vocal lessons, do you think that choir is a good alternative? Because I've heard that from a lot of people. What do you think?
Well, I have to say, I think it depends on the choir director. Some choir directors really understand making music. Other ones, I think you can kind of tell that they're all about themselves. So if you find a choir director that's really about making music, I say get in that choir.
Are there any certain signs that you would know the difference? Say, what are some of the things you need to look out for between the good choir directors and the bad ones?
You know, I'd say in the first rehearsal, you'll be able to tell if the choir director is all about himself or herself, or if the choir director is about making music. If the choir director asks the choir what they think about something, that's a good sign.
A good sign that they're not good, or they're good?
Well, you know, I always think, I say, look for the God complex. If they have the God complex, then steer clear of them. But,
okay.
You know, true music is really made from the heart. So you can tell that right off the bat.
So if they're asking you what you want to do, that's a good thing, because they want to know what your thoughts and input are.
I think in any creative collaboration, you know, if you're working with a director or a cinematographer or a choir director, anybody who is open to other people's input and ideas, I think it's a good sign.
Absolutely. So are there any sort of singing tips or education that comes with singing in a choir that you could share with us? Like, what did you learn?
Oh, man. Well, I definitely learned a lot about music, for sure. But singing in a choir, how to live your life. Because when you're in a group and you're making something together, those are skills you take with you, whatever you're doing. Because most of us have to live in the real world, where we have to work with other people every day. And so if you can learn how to make something creative as a group, then I think it's a really invaluable skill.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, definitely that collaboration, that'll help you for sure. Now, how does having a background of singing in a choir help you, or how did it help you when you wanted to go solo? What skills did you take with you, or education did you take with you when you wanted to go solo, and how did that help you or hinder you?
Well, you know, I guess I would say just last night, I'm out here on Fire Island in New York, which is one of the most beautiful places in the country, and I sang a concert at a beautiful theater called Whitehall, and for the entire day I spent sound checking, working with the sound designer, the lighting designer, and, you know, it took a whole team to put a whole concert together, and if I had grown up only as a solo singer, I don't think I would have learned all of the skills it takes to sort of realize that it takes a team to put a project together. And so because I learned those skills, I realized, hey, there's some things that I can do great, and then there's some things I don't know anything about. So I hand those off to the people who really know what they're doing. So in any creative project, I think if you try to do it all, you might run into, it might be more difficult in the long run.
Very interesting. Now, we've been talking about the pros of your background in being with the choir. What are some of the cons, if any, of having a background of choir training?
Let's see, the cons. Well, it definitely has an impact on your dating life, because you're called a choir geek. Who wants to date a choir geek?
Oh, hey, if he's hot, I do. Yeah, come on.
Hey,
now.
I'm with you. But when you're in high school, you get a lot of fingers pointed at you. Say, oh yeah, you're one of those choir geeks. But I'll tell you what, I think that might be the only con.
Oh, so you can't get any action while you're in the choir in high school. So that's not too bad. Well, I don't know. Well, if you're a boy, that might be bad.
unless you're in a good-looking choir.
Now, do you feel that being involved in choir steered you towards liking a certain type of music for your personal listening style? Do you think that influences at all? Because you're kind of listening to choir music constantly. What type of impact do you think that has?
Well, I guess I would say first, definitely yes. But there's also a lot of different kinds of choir music. And I've grown up singing everything from Gregorian chant to vocal jazz to contemporary pieces to gospel. And singing in a group, I think that's actually what's kept me in music, because some people get burned out doing the same thing. And singing in a choir has let me sing almost every kind of music there is. So
That is a very interesting point. I love that you brought that up, and that you listed a couple of the different styles of music. And, oh, you just made that, and it's just so poignant for me, because my husband, of course, he plays guitar and bass, and he plays all different types of music. And that's one thing he said, he plays in different types of bands, because I think, and I don't know if you agree, but I think that I see a lot of musicians who play the same style, like they just play jazz or they just play blues. They get burnt out so easily just doing the same thing. So there is a debate that I have found amongst musicians. I want to get your input. Some musicians, specifically jazz musicians, because Lord knows you don't want to get into a debate with a jazz musician because they get very huffy with you. But they feel, you know how they are, they feel that if you're going to do jazz, in order to call yourself a jazz musician, you have to only study jazz and you only have to play jazz. And if you play blues or disco or pop or rock or anything else, you're not a real jazz musician. You're not a real jazz artist. But I have found that I think that the most enjoyment comes from listening to vocalists and or musicians that can play a wide variety of music, because I feel that the nuances, the tones, and the phrasings, they're all much more colorful, and you can hear the influences from all the different styles that they play or sing. What do you think?
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, Priscilla. For example, I take Stevie Wonder. Now, a lot of people wouldn't call him a jazz musician, but if you listen to the chords that Stevie Wonder uses, he uses all jazz chords.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he may use a funk beat behind it, and he may get his harmonica out and start playing, you know, in a style that doesn't sound jazz, but that's completely jazz influenced. And I agree with you. I think anybody that says you can only listen or play to one style of music if you want to be a perfect at it, I think that's a crock of crap.
Mm-hmm. And especially as a musician, because my husband, for example, because he's played in all different types of bands, he can go to he can get a call to play in a band. He doesn't even have to really know the music. He can just go there. He can start listening to it. He doesn't even need to have music. And he can just start playing it, and he knows what the root chords are and all that. I'm not a musician myself, but he can play. He can acclimate and adapt immediately, because that's what he was trained to do, because he played in all different types of bands. Most of them didn't have sheet music. You just went in there and you had to do it by ear. And I think that's one of the best musicians. And he played with a lot of Asian bands and Filipino bands, and they are notorious for not having any sheet music. They just say, okay, E, let's switch to C, let's switch F sharp. Or that's if you're lucky. That's if you're lucky. Most of the time, they'll just start playing I Will Survive, and that's it. You have to start playing it. But, I mean, who doesn't know that song? But you know what I mean? It's just, I think that it's much better for you to dabble in all different kinds of music. So I would say that with you learning the Gregorian chants and doing all of that, that may possibly have influenced your listening style. Now, you know, some of your favorite singers started out singing in choir. Whitney Houston, for example. Who are some of your favorite singers who got started that way, singing in choirs? And maybe name some that we don't even know about.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn because I haven't researched all of my favorite singers' young histories, but I would venture to say that Elton John probably sang in a choir at one point in his life.
Mm.
And he's one of my favorite songwriters, and I sing his song Rocket Man in my live show, and I usually close with it just because it is like, I feel like it's in the New American Songbook, that song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think a lot of singers, you know, started out singing in a choir.
Yeah, Whitney Houston. I think her aunt Dionne Warwick did too. So I think most of your gospel and your blues singers got some sort of choir training. And I mean, every time I watch an interview with a blues musician, that's pretty much what they say. They started singing in church. So some of the best singers are. We're going to have to do some research, Matt, and find out all the singers that got their start in choir, so we can be more.
Like Mel Torme, for example. He had a group before Mel Torme was Mel Torme. He had a group called the Hi-Los. You know, it was a small group, and it was a vocal jazz group, but it was the same kind of skill singing in a choir. You have to listen really as much as you're singing, you have to listen. So.
Right, exactly. That's very important, listening. And I tell you, a lot of musicians and singers, they just want to play over. They can't wait for their solos. They just want to sing over people. You know how it is. Now, what advice do you have for people who want to pursue a career in music? What is your personal advice? What do they do? What do they need to do? Do you recommend going the education route? Do you recommend not spending the money? What do you say?
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of career in music you're looking for. I mean,
I'm
from a singer-songwriter perspective.
Okay.
That's the way I make my living. I write songs. I record them at home. I've learned how to produce records. And now I go out on tour and I perform them for a living. That's what I do. So coming from that perspective, I will say that, before I was doing this, I got a degree in music, a performance degree, from a small state school in Missouri called Truman State University. The name of the school isn't important. What is important is that I went and I studied the basics of music, the structure of music, how to analyze chords, how to understand the different languages of music, and also a history of music. And with that background, and along with singing in choir since I was a kid, I've been able to sort of step away from an academic way of looking at music and put it together into a career. And I will say that having a background and a degree in music has definitely helped me. I would not be where I'm at today without studying with the people I've studied with. That said, I don't think you need a degree to make it in the music industry. It has helped me, but I think if anyone wants to be a singer-songwriter for a living, the most important thing to do is first, you have to really be able to write melodies. That's the most important thing. If you can't write a melody, if melodies don't just come to you, then I think you should rethink being a songwriter. But if you're that kind of person that's walking around the supermarket and all of a sudden you start humming to yourself or you start hearing a rhythm or a melody in your head, I think you've got the basics of it down.
That's very good, because a lot of people think that they can write songs because they can remember the words to songs, me being one of them. But it's not true. It's very different. You can hear songs and you can, I mean, if I like a song, I can remember the words pretty much. People, vocalists, when I go to the gigs with my husband, and the vocalist will actually forget the lyrics to a song, and they'll say, Priscilla, can you write down the lyrics real quick? I want to do that. I remember the lyrics, but then I tried to write a song a couple times, and absolutely nothing. It's totally different, because I don't understand. I don't know how to write music. I don't know how to read music. I just know the words to songs. So just because you remember words to songs does not mean you are a songwriter, people. Listen to Matt. Now,
maybe not.
Yeah. What characteristics characteristic traits, very different, do you feel that it takes to become a successful, as a singer-songwriter in the business? Because the reason I ask that is everybody wants to be, a lot of people want to be singers, songwriters, but there is a difference. You have to have certain characteristic traits. And I can just start by saying that you need to know how to network. You need to know how to market yourself. You need to know how to promote yourself. It is not enough, people, that you are sitting alone in your room and you're singing and you're writing music, because if you just sit there and you compile 2,000 songs, what the hell are you going to do with them? You need to be able to get them out there. What characteristics do you feel that it takes?
Well, it's a really good question. I've been thinking about it a lot since I spoke with you this afternoon, and I think the single most important characteristic that is important to be a singer-songwriter today is that beyond your voice, beyond your songwriting ability, you really need to picture yourself on the stage singing that song. And if you're somebody who's going to be comfortable before, during, and after that song on stage, I think I would encourage that person to keep going forward. Because, listen, when the song's going on, of course it's exciting to sing. Of course it's exciting to let your voice shine. But what happens before the song? What happens after the song? You're still on stage. And half of the concert, I would say more than half of the concert, if you timed it out in minutes, is going to be spent not singing a song. And how are you engaging with an audience when you're not singing? I mean, the singing is the basics, of course. Mm-hmm. But just like last night, I'm sitting in a room full of 170 men in Fire Island, and they could be out dancing and drinking and having a good time. Instead, they decided to come and hear me sing. But in between the songs, I have to give them a piece of myself. I have to let them know who I am and what I'm about, where the song came from, what I did that day. It could be anything.
Absolutely.
But if you're not comfortable in between those songs and connecting to an audience, you're going to have a tough time making it in this business.
That is so right. My God, people, you got to think about this. Why the hell would people go and pay money to see you if you're going to sit up there and on a chair and read music from a piece of sheet music, which, you know, Matt, people do. They will actually go up there and do it. Now, that is something that is just highly embarrassing, but I have gone to see musicians and they have sheet music and they're singing and reading sheet music. No, you cannot do that. You have to. If they're your songs and you wrote them, you should remember them. Another thing is, yes, exactly what Matt said. You have to be a performer. We don't want to just look at you singing your song and then when it's over, go right into another one and then another one and another one. You've got to relate to the people. You've got to make them your friends, at least for the time you're performing. They have got to be your friends. You've got to make them feel like they're family members. Whatever it is, you got to make them want to sit there and listen to you. They've got a lot of choices out there, and you got to make sure that you make them feel that they want to choose you. And that means performing, engaging, networking. Go out in the audience after you on your break. Don't go back in the dressing room and go powder your damn face and put lip gloss on or whatever the hell you do back there. You got to get out in that audience and shake hands and talk to people. Am I right, Matt?
It's one of the most exciting parts of the concert for me.
Yeah.
It's over. I get a chance to meet everybody. I get to walk out in the lobby, and I get to shake their hands, look in their eyes, and I get to listen to them tell me what their favorite moments were, what they liked, what they didn't like. It doesn't matter. It's a really great chance to actually touch the people who came to hear you sing.
Absolutely. You gotta be able to perform, and also you gotta be able to be friendly and network and market. And if you can't do that yourself, then you need to find somebody to do it for you. Perfect example: Matt has a manager. Am I correct?
Who I do.
Wonderful. Oh, my God. Extremely professional. You send him an email. He returns your email right away. You got to have that kind of person working for you. Tell us a little bit about that.
I will say that. My manager, his name is Brian Hurst, and mm-hmm. he's he's really turned my entire life around. I was really pounding the pavement hard in Los Angeles, like a lot of people are, and I really believed that I had something to offer. But before I met Brian, I had gotten a little bit burned out, and I felt like, gosh, I'm trying so hard, but I don't really know how to get this further than I've been able to take it. And because Brian believed in me, he actually went way overboard. He actually said, hey, I've got an extra room in my house. Why don't you come and move in, and I'll charge you a cheap rent, because I know you're trying to make it in this business. So, his level of investment in me has been incredible. He gave me an instrument to play. He gave me a piano. He said, I believe in your songs, and you need a piano, so why don't I just give you? I've been incredibly lucky to find a great manager. Any manager who comes on board is going to have to be somebody that really believes in what you do. And because of his investment and our work together, 1 year later, listen to me, I'm sitting here in a beautiful house on Fire Island where they paid me, $3,000 to come and sing an hour of my songs on the most island in the country. This can work,
Woo! So I guess you're out for my birthday party. I can't afford your ass for my birthday.
I'll sing for your birthday party for free.
Good, because you're going to have to do, for $3,000, you'd have to be doing much more than singing, honey. You'd be stripping and rubbing yourself down with some honey, whipped cream, and lifesavers.
You don't want to see that.
You're hot looking, and I got all the condiments ready for you. Hey,
well,
listen,
I'll bring some boys from Fire Island.
Oh, God, now you're talking. Oh, you're just getting me excited. Woo! Hey, listen, guess what we're going to do? We are almost out of time. We're going to end the show playing your song real quick. We've got 3 minutes. Let's talk about what's the name of the song, and then we're going to go right into the song. What song are we going to hear?
I think we're playing The Slow Club. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. The Slow Club is a song from my record called Hide Nothing. And Hide Nothing is available on iTunes if you're interested. It also plays for free. My whole album plays for free from my website, which is mattalber.com. And this song is about a really great first date. And I'm always somebody that rushes into things, but this song, I wanted to take it slow. So I invited my boy Joe to this restaurant in San Francisco called The Slow Club. And so that's what the song is based on.
Hot damn. All right, I am going to Facebook friend you, my darling.
Already done.
I'm going to Facebook friend you so I can find out where you are, and I'm going to come to see you and bring my hot, horny girlfriends, okay?
Bring them.
All right, everybody, this is Matt Albert's latest song. Thank you for listening. Now, you can hang on the line and listen to it, and then it'll just automatically end. But this is Matt Albert's latest song. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week on Question Reality.
Thanks, Priscilla.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.